Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
What's up, Dodger fans? Hope you're having a great week out there. It's Friday afternoon. Your Los Angeles Dodgers are about to begin a big series with the San Diego Padres. I'm excited to be joined by Desert Doyer. First time joining the Incline Dodgers podcast. So it's a privilege to have you. If you're not following him on social media, you can follow him on X, but his main page is obviously Instagram, where he's got great Dodgers content. So go ahead and give him a follow. I'm going to pass it over. Desert Doyer, how you doing?
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on here. I've been watching you guys for a while now. Love the content. Super excited to just talk Dodger baseball with you guys.
Awesome. We are presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. Your Los Angeles Dodgers are 10-5 to begin the season. They've been pretty much in cruise control so far. This will be a nice test as they get to face the Padres, this time in the United States. That Korea series was a little weird. Excited to see Yoshinobu Yamamoto get a revenge start against the Padres. I'm expecting things to go a lot better for him this time around. He'll face Michael King tonight for the Padres. Let's start there. Do you think Yamamoto's going to turn in a big game today?
Definitely. I mean, that first game, I think there were reports out there that maybe he was tipping pitches. So, the last two starts, especially the one in Chicago, he was just had his glove a little bit higher than when he had it down in Korea. So we'll see. I'm expecting a good start from him. He kind of got off to a rocky start in Chicago, bases loaded first two innings, but he settled down and he pitched very well.
Yeah, he's been a lot better. Hasn't allowed an earned run over his last two outings. He appears to be getting a lot more command of his curveball and splitter as well. I'm excited for the Dodgers to begin this series. I think it'll be a good test for them. First game will be Yamamoto against Michael King. Then we've got Gavin Stone and what could be his last start for a while with the Dodgers, as Walker Buehler is really close to making his return with the Dodgers. I think he's got a rehab outing this evening, and they're going to evaluate if this is his last rehab evening before joining Los Angeles. He's got a 7.88 ERA as he struggled in his most recent outing. He'll face the Padres' own Matt Waldron. And then finally, the last game will be Yu Darvish against James Paxton, who so far has really been a nice surprise and an excellent back-end starter for the Dodgers.
Definitely. I mean, we didn't expect James to be an ace for us. It would just give us some innings till the reinforcements come in, like Walker Buehler almost ready to come in. And then we have Kirsch and hopefully May as well in late July, early August. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think James Paxton's going to continue to be consistent for the Dodgers. He's just looked really dialed in with his command. Gavin Stone, I don't know what happened. He looked great in his season debut against the Cardinals and then really struggled the next go around. I still think he's a really talented pitcher, but he's going to be on the chopping block once Walker Buehler is activated. That's just how it is. So we'll see how he does in this series. It's a good test, a pretty strong Padres lineup. We'll go a little more deeper into that series later on. But we've got some huge news to cover in Dodgers land. We were hit with great stuff if you're an Ohtani fan. There's a lot of wacky people out there who are just throwing all kinds of crazy accusations, making up their own conspiracy theories. But the Associated Press, the Associated Press, along with other outlets like ESPN, New York Times, all reported that this Ipe Mizuhara situation seems to be coming to a close. We lost our guests, but let me let him back in.
There we go.
No worries.
There you go.
Where I was leaving off here is that Ipe is going to be charged with federal bank fraud. He's allegedly been found to have stolen at least $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. So let's start there. Initially, we thought it was maybe $4 to $5 million, but yeah. $16 million? what the hell is going on here?
Exactly. I mean, like when the Shohei, I mean, I'm not rich, but I check my account daily. But yeah, how did he get away with this so much money? And the thing, funniest thing that you were saying, there's a lot of people out there that were saying, oh no, Shohei knows, he was involved. The IRS, the Department of Justice, and Homeland Security, all three investigated this. And they didn't find anything on Shohei. He turned in his phone, he turned in anything that they wanted, he turned it in for them, and they found no evidence of him being involved in this. So it all starts with the Angels. Like, didn't you guys run a background check when you guys hired him?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, we talked about this subject a few times. People seem to be in denial and think it's Mission Impossible Ethan Hunt status that you can take money out from someone's account without it being that person. But when you're essentially, as they quote, de facto manager for Shohei Ohtani, it's really easy for someone like Ipe to get a hold of Ohtani's mobile device, logins, turn notifications off. It's in the reports that he even impersonated himself as Shohei Ohtani to move money over in pieces. 19,000 bets is what Ipe has placed between late 2021 and early 2024. He won over $142 million with these bets, but he's lost $183 million, which is a negative $41 million deficit, which is just absolutely insane.
He was just betting on stuff that he didn't even know anything about. He was just to bet. That shows how addicted he was to gambling, because he was just betting and he didn't know what the sport was. He was like, yeah, just whatever. Here you go. Bet whatever it is.
Seriously. And in their findings, they did say he did not bet on baseball, which to me is still quite surprising. But I guess he bet on everything else, because when you throw in that many amount of bets, an average of 25 bets a day, and there's no baseball, that's just miraculous. I mean, he clearly would wake up and probably bet on sports across the globe, and somehow baseball wasn't involved.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where he was in a hole, and Boyer, along with maybe whatever other bookie was involved, would continue to cut him some slack. And eventually Ipe just found himself in too big of a hole where he started to just steal money from Shohei Ohtani. Like Michael Carrillo is mentioning, a lot of his bets were on soccer games, and clearly he doesn't know shit about soccer because he lost a lot of money.
Yeah, he doesn't know about any sports. I mean, it's. I was reading into the investigation and just watching a few of the videos on there from the Justice Department, and they were saying that he impersonated him. He called banks. Say, yeah, my name is Shohei. So they have records of that he called the bank. One of the banks froze his account, and then he called another bank to unfreeze that account. And he just impersonated him and just stealing that money. And a lot of people are like, how can Shohei not know? I watch my mother-in-law. I have her social security number, her bank account number. I mean, if I wanted to, I can play some bets on her, but she barely makes any, barely gets any money. But yeah, there's ways to do it. If the person that trusts you to give you all that information, and you can do it. You can do it. So it sucks for Shohei, but I'm glad that that all this was revealed, that he didn't have anything to do with it, because regardless, those haters are out there still. They don't care. They're still going to be saying deferrals and whatever it is for throwing at Shohei. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work in an industry where people have the ability to send out money to third parties and clientele that they aren't actively monitoring their financials. They leave it to their business managers to get it done. And so for someone like Shohei Ohtani, it's honestly not that surprising. Even when $16 million sounds like an insanely high value, but if he has hundreds of million dollars, then that's just a little blimp on the radar.
Yep.
He's probably not checking his account balances daily or monthly. He might be doing it on a quarterly basis because he's so dialed in on Major League Baseball.
That's like $16 to him.
Exactly.
To us, it's a bunch, but to him, it's like $16 missing. Like, whatever. Ipe's taking care of it.
Doom underscore Sal is excited to see Desert Doyer on the show. What is up? MWG, what is up to you as well? Thank you guys for tuning in. If you haven't hit that like button yet, please hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button on our channel as well. It'll do us some favor. We'll get to some of your guys' questions later on in this live stream. But I still want to cover just this crazy story that seems to be hopefully coming to a close so that Shohei Ohtani can just focus on business and Ipe, who could potentially serve up to 30 years in federal prison, which is, that would be a long time. But where did that
turn himself in today? Posted a bond.
Yes.
And they released him. He turned in his passport, and he has to go to gambling addiction, whatever it is, anonymous, whatever they call it. So he's going to go do some classes there to his court, to his next court date.
Yeah, some of these text messages that they uncovered are just silly to me. Like in November of 2022, Ipe texted the bookie, "I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me paying." In an admission, he said, "Technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me." So the record's out there. The Michael Kays of the world, the John Boys of the world, who continue to be in denial and try to defame Shohei Ohtani, need to look themselves in the mirror. And honestly, you just need to shut up. The evidence speaks for itself. Ohtani is not involved. I don't know why, outside of Dodger fandom, they're rooting for his downfall. Everyone wanted to see him be on a competitive team and be the face of baseball. Now, all of a sudden, they act like Ohtani's the villain here when the FBI and the feds are labeling Ohtani as the victim.
Yeah, it's just the hate towards LA. People do not like the Dodgers. There's a lot of hate out there towards the Dodgers. Doesn't matter what it is. We could win the World Series this year, and they're just going to say we bought the World Series. You know, so it just doesn't matter. You know, as long as our fan base, we get to enjoy the season, we get to enjoy that World Series ring, that World Series parade this year, I'm good. I don't care what the other franchises or people say.
Same. I just want to see this team have a parade in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That's what we need pretty badly. Anything else you want to add on this Ohtani Ipe stuff, or are we kind of good?
I think we're good. I mean, yeah, we're just going to see what happens later on. If he's going to plead guilty, if he's going to plead innocent, what's going to happen to him? I mean, because no matter who it is, it's gambling is an addiction. And right now, especially with all these DraftKings, you know, yeah, all these that's making it so easy for a lot of us normal people to bet. And I mean, we're not making a lot of money here. And there's a lot of people that I know that are just gambling their money away. They're just throwing the money away. It's a little addiction that's becoming. Oh, good Lord. Agreed. Let me turn off my alarm.
But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Sorry. My alarm keeps going off. I just turned it off now.
All good. I agree with what you're saying. And yeah, Ipe is definitely the perfect example of someone that clearly has some serious addictions and self-control issues. This might need to be made into a TV series or something, because what went on behind the scenes is just criminal mastermind stupidity all in itself, and could make some really good entertainment. I can't believe all this actually happened. Coming in, I thought Ipe was going to be some chill interpreter. I was looking forward to him being Ohtani's wingman. And right, literally game one afterwards, he gets busted for this. I also do think that may have played a little into Yamamoto's struggles in his first start, because there was just so much uncertainty in this whirlwind of a storm hit the Dodgers clubhouse. Thankfully, it seems like it's been resolved, and Ohtani's bat has been one of the best over the last
and you know what?
Week or so.
Yeah, now I find it, what Dave Roberts made a comment that after they had let him go, that it's just easier to communicate with Shohei. Now I'm wondering, was Ipe like really like trying to, you know, smother him and not allow anybody else to talk to him, you know? because he didn't want anybody to, you know, give him any information regarding, you know, oh, you know, we can do this kind of banking or whatever it is. But yeah, it's just the way that Ipe, I went to spring training every day. Mm-hmm. And man, I would like, you know, I would see a lot of people call for Ipe. He would never turn around and like wave at anybody. He would just walk right by. I mean, when you're the second fiddle to the biggest star in the world, turn around. Embrace that role that you have. You're like, wow, but like, no. He was like, nope, I'm over here. I don't want nobody to talk to my man. Nobody talking to my man.
Crazy. All right, so back to this Dodgers-Padres series. Wanted to get your thoughts, Desert Doyer. Do you think the Padres are going to be in the playoffs this season? Do you think they're a potential postseason threat?
They're a threat. I mean, their pitching rotation is pretty solid. They have Darvish, Cease, King is a top notch. He's done pretty well in his first two starts. Mm-hmm. They also got Musgrove. So I mean, their pitching rotation is a solid team. They have a solid lineup as well.
Yeah,
they're off to a bad start right now, but I think they'll be a threat in the end. Now, if they're gonna make it into the postseason at the end, we don't know, because the NL West is gonna be so tight. We got the Dodgers, the Padres, even San Francisco has a solid team. And you got the D-backs. The D-backs are a young team. They added some pieces to their team. We'll see, you know, hopefully, I think two teams from the NL West are going to make it. We're just going to see if is it the D-backs or the Padres right behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think the Padres are a sneaky team. I think their rotation was kind of slept on, and so far they've been getting it done. It's not the deepest rotation, but as long as they stay healthy, guys like Darvish tend to do pretty well against the Dodgers. Fernando Tatis Jr. so far is having a pretty good season. He's got 4 home runs already, 9 RBIs and OPS, a little over 800. Jerkson Profar so far has been playing out of his mind. He's got a couple home runs and OPS over 1,000. And then I've never heard of him, but Yuji Rosario, who I think we'll see in this series, a young third baseman, he also has an OPS over 1,000. And then Jake Cronenworth and Luis Campuzano, they're off to good starts as well. This Padres lineup is pretty deep, and Machado and Bogarts haven't actually even been playing that well.
Yeah, and don't forget Jackson Merle too. Their center fielder. He's another. We need to draft a Jackson. These three Jacksons that are out there right now, we need to draft a Jackson. But yeah, it's a solid team. It's a solid team. Hopefully, we take care of business like we've continued to take care of business against them. But it's a solid team. We need to put them away now. That way they don't, you know, they don't get any leverage and say, hey, we can compete with the Dodgers.
Yeah. And you know, it'll be their World Series, just like Mookie Betts and all the other Dodger fans are well aware of. AJ Preller is going to always go hard. So it definitely is important to win as many games against the Padres as possible, so they don't go crazy at the deadline like they always do, and try to do what they do in the second half, which is just be a thorn in the Dodgers' side. We are definitely the better team, of course, but when it comes down to the postseason, you just never know. But yeah, this is going to be an exciting series. I am really looking forward to how Yamamoto looks against them. Let's see if he can have 3 good starts in a row. Yeah, this will be a big story for Yamamoto. But on a different note, Bobby Miller's looked pretty bad in his last 2 starts. Only was able to go 5 2/3 innings total, 247 whip, 7 earned runs, 2 home runs, 9 hits, and 5 walks. What do you think is going on with Bobby Miller?
He has looked bad. I mean, that first outing of the season, he looked fantastic. We're like, yes, this is the Bobby Miller we're going to have for the continue of the season. That second start was just terrible. First inning, 1-2-3, and then they allowed 5 runs, and then he didn't make it out of that second inning. Third start, I was there. I was in Chicago for it, and he just didn't look like he had the control. But it was the weather. I'm not going to complain about the weather, but he's gotten 2 bad starts with weather-wise. But I think he'll turn it around. Again, we're not looking for him to be the ace right now. We're just looking at him to contribute, and we need to get that healthy, stay healthy for that October run.
I just got sent some breaking news in our Discord chat, and this is why I love our Discord chat. I should drop the link in a couple minutes. But the remember the fan that caught Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball?
Yes.
How she was separated from her boyfriend or spouse or whatever. And what I said was she got fleeced in that deal because I heard on a certain show that that ball might have been worth $100,000 and she got peanuts. Well, she just posted a picture of herself and her boyfriend or husband with Shohei Ohtani.
That's going into that game. The guy should have known already. Like, as soon as he caught the ball and they whisked her away, he should have been like, no, I'm coming along. I don't care if you guys want me to or not. I'm coming along. And yeah, that, in the excitement of all, maybe I would have settled for that too. But
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
As long as the only thing that kind of bothers me is that when Shohei said that he met them,
yeah,
and they didn't, but I'm glad that they turned it around and they got to meet him. But yeah, I mean, at least they got a ball sign, the hat sign, because those balls. I mean, I went on eBay the day after. I think the minimum for a ball was $5,000 for a Shohei Ohtani ball. That was a foul ball, that wasn't even certified or anything. So,
yeah,
I'm sure they'll make some, and they got a bat too.
Yes.
They got a bat too. So that then the bat was, I saw a bat, $10,000 for a Shohei Ohtani bat. So, hey, they got some money there if they want to sell that stuff.
Absolutely. I'm glad the Dodgers made it right, because I did feel like the way they initially handled it might have been a little uncalled for. It almost felt a little like entrapment, or like this is a girl shoplifting and then they're holding her hostage and like forcing her to make a bargain deal. But made amends. You can follow her online, I guess. Her handle is very weird. It's like Sugar Tits, but she's got the photo with Ohtani. So there we go. Made it right. Love to see it. Back to where we were. In terms of the Dodgers offense, how about Teoscar Hernandez leading the team with 15 RBIs? What a signing.
Right. That's a lot of teams would have signed him and to be hit their number four hitter, number five hitter, maybe three, right, somewhere in the middle. We signed him. He's towards the end of our lineup, so that's a great signing. Hopefully, Lux, Outman, and whoever the third guy is that don't towards the bottom can start producing something, because right now they're terrible. All three of them, that's just automatic outs. Like once we get past number six, there's nothing going on offensively in that 7, 8, 9 role.
I'm going to open up to the chat who's tuning in right now with us in the live stream. If you have questions, feel free to ask us anything you want, and we'll answer everything you throw our way, because I always love getting the chat involved. You guys make it fun. On another note, Mookie Betts, who's in a little bit of a slump, but still is off to a great start. I mean, he leads the team in WAR. He's got 5 home runs. He's already scored 19 runs. Shohei Ohtani has 8 doubles. Will Smith, who's been coming out of the gate red hot, batting .412. How about Will Smith? He just looks locked in with the Dodgers.
That was a great signing by them, extension for them. That's cheap. It was a bargain deal. I'm glad we're gonna keep him for a while. The only downfall is that our catchers are in the minors. We have 3 solid catchers down in the minors. Who's gonna get moved? Because we can't keep all 3 of them. We'll see what happens, but at least hopefully Diego, who is the guy who I want to trade, plays well enough to bring us a piece that we're going to need is either this year or next year to win the World Series or defend our World Series title.
Absolutely. This question is for you, Desert Doyer, coming from Doom underscore Sal, who's one of our great listeners. Desert Doyer, how did you come up with the Lucha Libre costume?
You know, moved out here to Arizona 20 years ago. And I went to the Dodgers when, you know, when they were playing. I would go all the time when they played here. And then one day, one guy just said, you know, it was just annoying. He didn't have any D-bag gear. And he was rooting because we were getting our butts slaughtered. It was like a 16 to something game. And he's like, yeah, you guys, you know, you Dodger fans are bandwagon fans. And get it. I mean, we were with Frank McCourt right now. We made the playoffs. We had that one year where we were terrible. And he said, you guys always show up only when you guys are winning. And you know what? I said, man, I need to come distinguish something that's going to tell me apart from everybody else. So that way these D-back fans can see that I'm here every single game. And I just bumped, went to LA, went to the fashion center. I mean, the fashion district, saw the mask. And I was like, I love that mask. And I saw the shirt. I saw a shirt, a Blue Demon shirt. And I said, that's going to be it. I'm going to wear that every single time to the D-backs game. And it just grew from there. I added the mask. The following year, I added the sombrero. Then the following year, I added the poncho. And then, like they say, the rest is history.
Awesome. That is definitely your trademark, and you wear it well.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Next question coming from Michael Carrillo. The chances Lux is getting traded.
Oh, man. I don't know how long we can hold on to him if he's not going to hit. And he can't field. I mean, if it was fielding, okay, you know, we can kind of write off his poor batting because our team is so deep. But right now he's not doing either. He can't field and he at shortstop and he can't hit. So I mean, if there's a piece out there that we can acquire somebody that can hit, field, and maybe even a bullpen arm. For Lux and Diego, I'm trading him away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to follow up on that, Los 17s mentioned that Willy Adames already has 3 home runs now as he went deep today. And I'm really frustrated with Gavin Lux because, like you said, he can't play the shortstop position, and they've been waiting for him to be the Dodgers shortstop for 2 years now. Second base-wise, he's been really good. He actually is a plus defender at second base so far, but the problem is it's forcing Mookie Betts to be at shortstop, and he's been a neutral to slightly negative defender so far at the position, which isn't optimal for the Dodgers. And his bat has been really disappointing as he's only hitting 175 with one RBI, a 433 OPS. So far, Miguel Rojas has looked a lot better than him at the plate. Even though Gavin Lux is the everyday, or I should say, at least against right-handed pitchers, is the everyday player in the lineup. And I was told by a lot of Dodger fans and quote-unquote experts that they need to have his bat in the lineup. But so far, I haven't seen a reason why I need to have Lux in there every day. He has no power.
Yeah, he's not performing well. I mean, and this kind of reminds me a lot of when Adrian Beltre was with the Dodgers when he came up. He was terrible at fielding. He was terrible at hitting. And we stuck with him. We stuck with him until he had that phenomenal breakout year, you know, and then McCourt just decided not to even offer him a contract, and he walked away. I'm not comparing them to the same, but it just reminds, you know, you never know what happens. You know, you might stick with them and maybe he breaks out and becomes a Hall of Famer, or maybe he just continues his poor performance, and that's, you know, overhyped.
Yeah. I'll give him till the end of April before I really start to bang the drum one way or another, but he just doesn't look comfortable at the plate right now. He's taking a lot of strikes and he's striking out looking, and I don't know if he's just rusty or this is who he is. So it's going to continue to be an ongoing issue as the Dodgers' bottom of the order really hasn't produced.
Yeah, same thing with James Outman. I mean, both of those guys right now just don't look comfortable at the plate. It just looks like they're not sure what they're waiting for. I mean, going down looking, is just, it just kills me. I know it kills a lot of the Dodger fans when, especially when there's a lot of guys on base that they come up with and they just leave them on there and there's not producing anything. So hopefully both of them turn it around, because we need something. I mean, I'm not saying hit 300, 250, just hit something here and there, because one at the 100s, it's not helping us at all.
Next question comes from Dodger Gal for Desert Doyer once again. I see you have a serious bobblehead collection. What's your favorite bobblehead?
Mine's is very small. It's not big. I mean, I don't get to go to as many Dodger games that they give the bobbleheads out to, but my favorite is the first one I ever got, which is the Matt Kemp.
Nice.
The Matt Kemp. This was my first bobblehead. Somebody sent it to me. I couldn't go to the game, but they sent it to me. And my favorite, I love the way he is up against the wall. He looks exactly like him. And I love the commercial that they promoted him, you know, the little mini, whatever it was, the commercial. This is my favorite bobblehead by far.
Matt Kemp in his prime, plus the 2018 redemption year, were some of my favorite Dodger memories. He was a phenomenal player.
He was. His MVP was stolen from him.
Yes.
That year. I'm not even going to mention his name, but Matt Kemp should have been the MVP that year.
Agreed. MWG, how many strikeouts will Yamamoto have tonight? How many wins will he need to win Rookie of the Year?
It's going to be hard to win Rookie of the Year. There's a lot of talented players out there. Tonight, though, he's going to have at least five Ks. If you're a betting person, go plus five. In order for him to win the Rookie of the Year, he has to have at least 20 wins. At least
20 wins.
20 what? Wins. Because it's gonna be challenging. I mean, there's so many. You know who the Cubs pitcher, Shota, he looked really good. I mean, I wanted the Dodgers to pick him up as well, and I think they got a good bargain for him in Chicago, but he looked phenomenal. He was out there in his jersey, you know, no jacket, no nothing. He was warming up in the rain. He looked good, and I think he might win the Rookie of the Year the way he's been pitching.
Yeah, he's definitely ahead right now in the race. I feel like I know there's some other great NL rookies out there. I'm completely blanking on who's in the mix right now. But I would think if Yamamoto, which honestly I don't care about this award, but if he were to win Rookie of the Year, he's going to have an ERA under 3. I think that's definitely one of the boxes he would need to check. I think 16 wins is more acceptable. I don't even know if anyone's going to win 20 games in the majors this year. Although Tyler Glasnow, who I haven't mentioned yet, maybe he's a 20-game winner. We should talk about more about him maybe towards the end of the show with just how exceptional he's looked. Yamamoto tonight, he'll get 6 strikeouts. He'll pitch into the 6th inning, and he'll allow less than 3 in runs. I'm going to go with that. And
love those picks.
Yeah, and the Dodgers should get the win. 16 wins, ERA under 3, then that's enough for Yamamoto to win Rookie of the Year. Question coming from Roy Estrada. Should Muncy bat 6 through 9 and leave Teoscar at the 5 spot?
Muncy's also one of the guys who has left a lot of guys on base, but that's kind of what his role is. I mean, he's going to be one of those guys that we know he's going to swing and miss, or he's going to swing and deliver a deep drive over the fence. I'd rather have Teoscar Hernandez at 5 because I think he's more of a solid contact hitter. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Maybe swap him over a little bit. You know, just give it a chance. I mean, but then again, are you going to have 6, 7, 8, 9 offers? That's what you're doing if you're moving him down. Now you're going to, because now you have Lux out, man, and you're going to have the bottom of the lineup is struggling right now.
Yeah.
Do you really want that? You know?
One of my bold predictions entering the season was that I said Teoscar Hernandez could establish himself as the Dodgers cleanup hitter. And so I do think at a certain point, you have to have the better bat higher up in the batting order because they get more at bats and more opportunities with the Freemans and the Otanis and the Betts and Smiths of the world on base. And so I do think at a certain point, it's way too early right now and the offense has been fine overall. There is going to potentially be a conversation where you move Muncy down a little bit, and that might be better for his game because Max Muncy in his heyday was actually a really good on-base guy. He was someone that saw the batter's box well, was able to take balls that looked like they were near strikes, and it might benefit Muncy to be lower in the lineup, and it also would lengthen the Dodgers' batting order. So it's a really good question to ask. They won't do it right now, but it could potentially be something later on where Max Muncy is hitting sixth for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and you're talking about Muncy seeing the eye well. I mean, he's still seeing the eye well. It just seems that the Blues this year have gotten worse as we go on. There's been calls against Mookie. Most of the Dodgers most of the baseball where the ball is clearly a ball, and they're calling it a strike.
Mm-hmm.
So that Robo Empire, it's going to come. It's going to come soon. Somebody's going to, the Players Association is going to say, hey, we want that Robo Empire here because these guys are just terrible.
It's been pretty bad. Another question for you, Desert Doyer from Maria G, who listens all the time. Are you from SoCal, Los Angeles area and moved to Arizona, or are you born and raised in Arizona?
No, I'm originally from LA, Hollywood. Grew up in Hollywood, and I moved out here. I was actually dragged out here. And we've lived out here for a year. I hated it. Ended up moving back to LA. And when I moved back to LA, I realized, you know what? I mean, this is the wrong choice. I'm not going to buy a house. I'm not going to live comfortably out here in LA. I'm going to move back to Arizona. And we moved back to Arizona, and I love it here now. I mean, it's not LA. We don't get the great weather. We get the great weather 4 months out of the year. Right now it's ending, but I love it out here. It's a nice place to live. It's really calm.
It's pretty chill. I spent a minute out there in Phoenix as I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go to college, and spent freshman year at Arizona State until I ended up eventually transferring, and now I'm a Long Beach State alumni. But yeah, it's not the worst place to live for sure. It's affordable and plenty to do out there. You've got Sedona nearby. You got spring training. Scottsdale's a nice area.
It's like everywhere. I mean, even if you live in Los Angeles, it just depends what area you live in. It's going to be, I mean, you don't want to live in downtown Phoenix. You don't want to live there, but I mean, they're fixing it up. But yeah, I live about 35 miles away from Phoenix, northwest. I'm in Surprise. And I love it out here. Everything's brand new. Schools are brand new. Shopping centers are brand new. Houses are brand new. So, yeah, can't ask for more.
And that's it for the questions right now. But if anyone wants to drop more questions, we'll be happy to answer them. We'll probably take you through 7 o'clock right before the Dodgers and Padres begin first pitch. Let me do a quick sponsor. This show is brought to you by TickPick, who's been sponsoring us for a couple years now. If you're looking to get the best deals out there, go to Dodger games. NBA is about to start the playoffs. NHL is either or is in the playoffs too. No service fees at checkout. Best prices out there on the market. Download the TickPick app. I use them all the time. I'm surprised just how many great deals are out there on this app. Better than the Ticketmasters, the StubHubs of the world. So go ahead, give them an opportunity. Download the app. If you go to their social media pages, they often have deals as well. So I highly recommend. People are talking about the cricket bat, which might have helped Outman swing a little bit as he's hit a couple home runs. Otani introduced the cricket bat, and that seems to have sparked his bat at well. Yeah. Somebody that I think needs to potentially try this out is Chris Taylor, because so far he stinks. He's a 1-for-27 with 14 strikeouts. And he's in the lineup most days right now with Jason Hayward on the injured list.
Yeah, there's quite a few guys that should be using that bat right now. But yeah, I agree with you. Chris Taylor's one of the guys that I want to see him succeed because he's a great. I love the utility role. I love Kike Hernandez in that role, and I love Chris Taylor in that role because you can plug him in anywhere you want. There's no limit to them. I mean, they don't pitch and they don't catch, but I love where they play. It's just offensively is where they hurt us. And that's been kind of the story with the Dodgers this year. Offensively, the bottom of the rotate of the order is just terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to give Chris Taylor the benefit of the doubt because he's a veteran who's come through for the Dodgers a lot. But I've seen it before with players where out of nowhere, they just completely spiral out of control. And the way Chris Taylor's looking right now, he might be digging himself into a hole that he might not be able to climb out of. I don't know if the Dodgers need to put him on the injured list, give him a reset, because so far it's been a really rough ride and people are tossing his name around in the chat. He hasn't shown much at the major league level yet, but I do wonder if the Dodgers will give a second chance to Miguel Vargas, who is tearing the cover off the ball right now in AAA, locked in, but he hasn't done it at the major league level. He's one of those quadruple A players, I guess, where he's too good for the minors, not good enough for the majors. I don't know if Miguel Vargas will get another opportunity at the big league level, but they may have to consider something.
Yeah, they might have to. I mean, Miguel Vargas, he had his chance last year. He just wasn't producing, but we can say maybe it was the factor of his hand being injured during spring training, where he was just going up there and taking at bats without swinging because his hand was injured. Maybe that carried over to the rest of the season. I would like to see Miguel Vargas come up again. I mean, we need something that's going to help that bottom of the order. We can, if it means sending looks, like, hope, I'm not saying let's hope for an injury here, but we need something to happen and get a spark. You never know. Maybe a spark comes down from Miguel Vargas moves up and he's a spark that we need that carries us to that World Series title.
Mm-hmm. Doom underscore Sal just live updated saying Miguel Vargas just hit a double. So there you go. What's up, Moose? Thank you for tuning in. He says hello to both Doyer, Desert Doyer, and myself. So thank you for tuning in. I mentioned his name. Want to get your thoughts on so far your feelings and thoughts on Tyler Glasnow, who absolutely dominated in his most recent outing, 14 strikeouts, which matched a career high, completely just overwhelmed the Minnesota Twins.
No, the one thing that we needed pitching this year, and I'm glad that the Dodgers went out there and they got pitching. I mean, we got Tyler Glasnow, we got Yamamoto, but getting Glasnow and then extending him, it's just going to help the Dodgers so much. He's been injured the past few years. He said, I haven't felt good. I just thought it was just, you know, aches of being, you know, pitching every year in and year out. But he's rested now. He's 100%. He says he's 100%. He feels great. This is the best he's ever felt in the majors. Like you said, he might be one of our 20-game winners out there. I mean, he was our ace. He was our starter. And he's pitching like the ace and the starter right now.
Definitely. He's just been a huge upgrade to the Dodgers rotation. It's what they were lacking. And with Glasnow at the top, Buehler coming back, and then hopefully Bobby Miller finds his rhythm, along with Yamamoto, of course. That's a deadly four that you're going to feel very confident in heading into the postseason.
Yeah, and then you got Kirsch possibly, and even Dustin May. So it's like we're good. I'm maybe going to a 6-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Save everybody's arm. Six-man rotation looks nice.
I think that would be the right strategy. Ryan Yarbrough has done a commendable job so far, providing some length out of the pen. Mm-hmm. Alex Vesey has been a little frustrating. He's coughed up a couple home runs. I don't know what to make of him. I'm not too thrilled with him as their top lefty out of the bullpen. I have low confidence in him right now.
Yeah, him, Brazier, that middle of the bullpen is just not Kelly. Even you can say even Kelly's on there. They haven't gone in there and shut it down like they're supposed to. You know, they come in. Alex gave up that one home run in Chicago. But still, you want to come in there and you want to, in a close game like that, we lost 3-2. There's no, you know, you got to get guys in there that are going to go in there and shut it down for us to get to that closer and not come in and give up hit, walk, base hit, and then here comes a home run, you know? So that middle of the rotation bullpen right now is, I think, is our Achilles heel right now. We need to kind of fix it up Hey, that's where we have Gavin Lux and those guys trade pieces, maybe.
That's true. Eventually, Trinan and Grouter will come back. Those should be upgrades.
Yeah.
I do think that this will be a continuous talking point that the Dodgers will have to add a high leverage reliever closer to the trade deadline, but we'll see what happens. There's a question. I was going to let the chat ask final questions before we send it off, but I'm going to pass it over to you, Desert Doyer. If there was anything else in particular you wanted to cover or something you were interested in promoting, anything, the floor is yours.
No, I mean, just give me a follow on my social at Desert Doyer. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and X. So, yeah, just give me a follow. I'm just trying to get out there right now this year. You know, this year I'm kind of pushing myself a little more than what I've been doing in the past. So hopefully we get a lot of Dodger followers. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to follow anybody who wants to follow me. I'll follow. I'm a baseball fan. So I'm not one of those fans that comes up here and F-drop bombs on San Francisco or whoever it is. You know, I have a lot of followers from San Francisco on my TikTok that started off just being dropping F-bombs on me. But I'm like, why? This is baseball. There's no reason for us to get into a fight over baseball. If you want to follow. If you don't, hey, you can continue commenting your negative comments and I'll just laugh at them. But yeah, thanks for having me on here. Appreciate it. And hopefully I'll be invited again.
All right. This will probably be our last question. And of course, it's the opposite tone coming from Noisy Ninja 91. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hilarious is it that the Oakland Athletics have a better record than the Houston Astros?
I feel so bad for that fan base. You know, they've rooted for that team for so long through bad seasons, because it's continuous bad season. Then they've had good seasons here and there. But, man, for the owner to do what he's doing to that team, it's just terrible. It just sucks. I wish MLB would say, hey, you know what? We're going to strip that team from you like they did to Frank McCourt. And we're going to keep him here in Oakland. And we're going to find an owner that wants to keep him in Oakland, because it sucks. They're a good team. I mean, when they put the pieces together, when the owner wants them to. But we'll see how they do in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm a devil's advocate here, but I think Major League Baseball needs to be in Las Vegas more than it needs to be in Oakland right now. I just, the way that the fans have been the last 20 years, if they were good, no one really showed up. They were bad, no one really showed up. The only thing that is pretty frustrating is that their ownership has been major assholes to that fan base for years. They needed to do something about that a long time ago, just kind of like how they kicked Frank McCourt out of town. But Rob Manfred has just been an absolute puppet and a disappointment. Yeah. Moose 1032, I really appreciate the super chat. Go Dodgers. Come on, Yamamoto. I do really think he's going to deal tonight. This is going to be a statement game for him to prove that one outing in Korea was a fluke against these Padres. This is going to be an awesome opportunity for Yamamoto to put himself really on the map, because we all know that the Padres are one of the darlings of Major League Baseball for some reason, where
yeah,
it's always go Padres and screw the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're right. It's like you see commercials and they're like Tatis, Machado, and then we'll get here and there, but they don't give us as much airtime as they do for them. But yeah, hopefully Yamamoto comes out tonight and he deals, like you said, six strikeouts, six innings, and he lowers that ERA down more and shows that mm-hmm. that first outing was nothing but a fluke. And yeah, he probably tip pitches, and that's why they hit him so well. But hopefully we get a lot of offers in the first few innings that he's playing, and we get the W.
Yes. Thank you so much, Moose, for that super chat. Thank you, Desert Doyer, for coming on the show this evening. Again, like he mentioned, follow him on Instagram or even X at Desert Doyer. He's got all kinds of awesome content. Any final words?
Thank you guys again. Thank you to the viewers who are watching. And let's get the sweep this weekend against Los Pobres.
All right. Follow the Incline Dodgers podcast wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. be a subscriber, leave us a comment or a review. And if you're watching the YouTube show after this live stream, let us know in the chat what your thoughts are in the Dodgers, on the Dodgers bottom of the order, and what you would do to tweak it. So thank you guys for watching. We're heading out. The Incline Dodgers podcast, covering the Dodgers baseball season all year long. Peace out, everyone. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are out.
Let's go, Dodgers.